Yeah, Mondrag. I've been a part of, and I've been attending New Life for about 8 years now. I've been a part of a few youth-led services. For many of them, I tried to hide in the back and quietly sing in hopes to not bring too much attention to myself. But as you see, I've gotten a little bit more confident, and so I've been participating more in worship. A few years ago, I was given the opportunity to preach. I don't remember much about what I said, but I do remember it being incredibly short, though I doubt many of you were complaining. I remember after that service, a lot of people approached me and told me that I was a natural. They told me that there was something different about me, that I had a way with a crowd to grab their attention just long enough for them to consider what I had to say. Their feedback has stuck with me thus far, and I'm eternally grateful that someone saw the potential in me when I didn't. I'll be turning 18 in 2 months, and to be honest, I don't know if I'm excited or terrified about that yet. But this also means that I'm aging out of the youth program, and when Jeff told me that Pastor Stan was going to be out of town today and that they needed a preacher, I didn't say anything, but I kept it lingering in the back of my mind. I knew I had to take advantage of this opportunity, even if it would put me right out of my comfort zone. But the Holy Spirit gave me a push to be here today and reminded me that this was probably going to be my last chance to preach in front of a congregation for a while, since I'm going off to college soon. So when I asked Jeff if I could be the one to preach today, I wish you could have seen the look on his face. On the next slide, it's going to be the scripture we're in today. We're going to be in John 11, verses 32 through 44. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" So they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me." Then Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloths, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him go." So I just have a quick question. How many of you know that the shortest verse in the Bible is actually in the scripture? Yes, sir. It's "Jesus wept." But why did Jesus weep? He knew that the situation would ultimately glorify God. So why did he weep? To add some context, in the book of Luke, Jesus has told his disciples to enter towns. Find a host who welcomes their message of the kingdom of God and stay in that host's home. The story of Mary and Martha, who are Lazarus' sisters, gives more nuance to the conversation. Martha appears receptive to Jesus' message. She invites Jesus to her home and he accepts. With that being said, they eventually become close friends of Jesus, even though at the beginning of their encounter, Martha has her priorities unbalanced. They have some history and established connections per se. Jesus wept at the graveside in sympathy with the sorrow over Lazarus' death. Jesus was grieving over Lazarus' passing and the pain it was causing Martha and Mary. Jesus feels our pain. He knows what every single one of you is going through. He weeps for us empathetically because he loves us. But he also knows that the death of Lazarus shows the glory of God. So Jesus allowed Martha and Mary to feel this kind of pain for a greater purpose. They just don't know about it yet. Next slide, please. Now, I'm going to provide you with some more context. I wanted to give you all a face to the person I'm going to be talking about today. This is a picture of me when I was in kindergarten. It was a while ago. And this is also a picture of me before I put my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, before I was saved. Let's see here. Yeah. I want to elaborate on verse 32 of this. Mary says, "Lord, if only," which is a phrase that was all too familiar when I was growing up. I grew up in a Catholic household and was baptized in a Catholic church when I was about 6 months old. But I don't really think I stepped into a church until I was about 11, I'm going to say. I grew up hearing about this God, and I had a general understanding that he had control over my life. But being so young, with little to no biblical knowledge, I felt confused a lot of the time. I had difficulty understanding why a God would let bad things happen to good people. And if I'm being honest, I feel like that's a pretty fair thing for a little kid not to understand, or for even someone in this room today to not understand. It's a hard concept. I feel humbled coming up here today and saying that for a very long time, I was angry with God. I was angry at the creator of the universe who sent down his one and only son who sacrificed his life for me and my sins. Do you realize how crazy that sounds? Not just for me, but for a lot of others too. At my young 17 years of age, I've had to deal with loss that I hope the average person wouldn't have to face in their whole lives. Some to old age, tragically to COVID-19, and some to suicide. For a very long time, I couldn't understand why God would take such innocent lives away from me. If God could have only prevented this, if only. If only God could have made you richer. If only God could have prevented your addiction. If only God could have stopped that car accident. God doesn't work like that. He doesn't do things to fit this messed up version of an agenda that you have for your life. Next slide, please. Everything I said had everything to do with me and nothing to do with the scripture. And it's so easy to get consumed in this world, in ourselves, in our feelings, and in our own messed up plans for our lives. I have some really bad news for you all, though. This isn't about you. This isn't about me. We forget that the Lord has a divine plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So put his plan over yours. The plan he has for us is so much greater than anything we could ever do or imagine. On to my next point, we finally get to talk about you. Take a second to analyze this picture that is about to be up on the screen. I have a quick question. How many of you are seeing a rabbit right now? Anyone? Okay. What about a duck? Okay. And how many of you have no idea what you're looking at right now? A couple of you, okay. The subject of this image has nothing to do with the image itself, but everything to do with perspective, right? Verses 36 and 37 say, "The people who were standing nearby said, 'See how much he loved him.' But some said, 'This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?'" Isn't it interesting how there were such different perspectives on this event? Some of the witnesses understood how much Jesus loved Lazarus, but others were upset. Since Jesus had performed miracles before, why didn't he do it to keep Lazarus alive? The different perspectives show us who had their faith and trust in Jesus and who didn't. Who had their heart in the right place and who didn't. Have you been allowing worldly things to affect your heart and the way you view the world? I think I have a slide on that. Next slide, please. Yes. No, next slide, please. There we go. Have you been allowing worldly things to affect your heart and the way you view the world? Like physical checkups, I feel like it's equally important to do spiritual checkups. Have you checked your heart recently? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Your perspective on how God is working in your life all depends on where your heart is at, just like the witnesses during this encounter. Did you wake up this morning and the first thing you thought about was, "Oh, this stupid alarm clock. I have to go to church today." Or did you wake up this morning and realize that you woke up this morning? Did that occur to you? That God blessed you with another day. Unfortunately, a lot of people did not have that opportunity this morning. Thank God that you're here today, that you woke up this morning. Everyone interpreted this event differently, even though they were all talking about the same thing. Just like that picture of the duck and the rabbit, or whatever you want to call that. Some of the people put their faith and trust in Jesus, and they knew that even though Lazarus passed away, that it was all part of Jesus' plan. On the other hand, those who didn't have faith in the Lord wanted to test him. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Of course. Of course he could have kept Lazarus from dying. What kind of a question is that? They know of the miracles that he's done before, so why are they asking something so redundant? Of course he can. But why would Jesus do that when he knows that God has better plans? "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. Verse 39, I think I also have a slide for that. Please. I kind of skipped over a couple, Jody, so. There we go. Thank you so much. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" This is exactly what I'm talking about when I mentioned whether or not people had faith and trust. Lazarus had clearly been dead for 4 days already, and his sister Martha didn't believe he could be brought back from the dead. But Jesus is telling her that if you believe, God's glory will be revealed. Next slide, please. Do you believe? Do you believe that God has everything under control? So you can stop trying to micromanage everything in your life? Romans 10:9 tells us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In verse 42, Jesus looks up and says thank you to God in front of everyone because they still didn't believe him. People were testing him due to their disbelief. He still showed them, even though they didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve an answer. They didn't have to receive it. Jesus didn't need to show them anything or prove himself to anyone, but he did so anyway because of how gracious and merciful he was. He is. Without a doubt, he always provides, even though we're never going to be good enough to deserve that. So they roll the stone away, and Jesus tells Lazarus to come out of the cave, and he does, after being dead for 4 days. Only the Lord is capable of such work. Our Heavenly Father has moved mountains. He's parted seas and he's robbed graves. What makes you think he won't do that for you? The Lord wants a relationship with you and has a purpose for everything in your life, especially your pain. So stop trying to fix everything in your life when you have almost no control of what needs fixing. You can fix your attitude, though. That's one thing I will say. And when you fix your attitude, you can fix your perspective. Protect your heart, believe in him, and trust in the plans that he has for you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this congregation, Lord. I want to thank you that I had the opportunity to come up here, even though it was short, come up here and preach today, Lord, and spread your word, and that the Holy Spirit moved through me. And hopefully, I said everything that you wanted to say and nothing about what I wanted to say, Lord, because this isn't about me. This isn't about the people in this room, Lord. It's all about you, and it will always be about you. I pray that the people in this room trust in you, God, that they protect their hearts, God, and believe in you, Lord. Thank you for this day. I pray for those who weren't able to make it today, Lord, and those who were. In your precious and holy name, amen.